When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Flight Deck, an inside look at the New York Jets. I'm your host, Rich Zanini, and I've been covering the Jets since it was Ken O'Brien versus Phil Sims in the Jets-Giants series. Speaking of which, Sunday is the 15th meeting between the local rivals. The Jets trail 8-6, but they've won two in a row, and we're going to dive into that game in the second segment with our ESPN reporter, Jordan Reynon. Hope everyone enjoyed their bye week. I actually picked up a golf club for the first time since the summer, played nine holes one day, went to the driving range, got away to the east end of Long Island, little shopping in the Hamptons, little lobster roll in Amagansett, an awesome dinner in Montauk. Good to get away from football for a couple of days, but now we transition back into a busy time in the NFL. I want to hit on the trading deadline. October 31st, coming up, happy Halloween. First, the Jets have actually already made a trade, as you guys all know. Mecole Hardman traded to Kansas City. The Jets trade Hardman in a 2025 seventh-round pick to the Chiefs for a 2025 sixth-round pick. The move was inevitable. Really, a couple of weeks ago, the Jets basically came to some sort of a promise with Hardman and his agent, telling him that we're going to get you someplace where you can play. We're going to try to accommodate you, and they did. In my opinion, it was a curious trade because the Jets are not exactly brimming with playmakers at wide receiver. Now, publicly, the Jets are selling the Xavier Gibson angle to this, and I get it. He's a promising young player, but they're making him out to be, well, a Mecole Hardman, and I don't think he's there yet. He had an amazing punt return in week one against the Bills to win that game, but he's got only one catch and three rushes. So let's not make him out to be something he's not. I think that's only part of the equation, though. I think clearly this coaching staff was not able to connect with Hardman. Yes, Hardman was frustrated, and maybe he did some complaining behind the scenes, but I think they could have done a better job of incorporating him into the offense. He could do a couple of things. Randall Cobb is, let's face it, he's a net negative. They're getting no production whatsoever out of him. So now Hardman is gone, and like a weird thing is like the Jets never actually announced the trade. They didn't post anything on X, formerly known as Twitter, and they had really only three short paragraphs on their website when the trade happened. It's almost like they wanted to forget that Hardman was ever on the team. He will not go down in history as a great Jet. He'll go down in history as a brief Jet from March to October, and that was it. It was the 23rd player trade for Joe Douglas, who, as we know, is always very active, hence the name Trader Joe. Fifth trade in the 2023 calendar year. Quick refresher, Chuck Clark, Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, Hardman. By the way, detect a trend there with disgruntled wide receivers. And, of course, the big trade, the biggest of them all, Aaron Rodgers. Will there be a 24th trade in the Douglas era coming up in the next week or so? Well, I think, yeah. I think Carl Lawson and Dalvin Cook are definitely candidates to be traded. From what I understand, the Jets are willing to listen to offers from one or both players. Lawson got an $8 million guarantee for taking a pay cut, but he's being phased out of the defensive line rotation. He's averaging only 18 snaps a game. I'd say he's, what, like eighth or ninth in the pecking order on the defensive line. One week he was 10th as a healthy scratch. I think we need to see more of Will McDonald and Michael Clemens, two younger players. Clemens a healthy scratch in the last game. There's really no reason for that. And I think much like Jacob Martin was expendable last year, and there's very deep defensive line, I think Lawson is now in that same position. So, yes, I could see him getting dealt. With Dalvin Cook, it's more of a money issue there because he gets $70,000 every week for being active. He gets $262,000 a week for being on the 53. When you add those numbers together and project it over the rest of the year, his price tag is basically $3 million, which is a lot for basically a second-tier running back at this point in the year. The Jets signed him, big signing in August. Basically, he was insurance for Breece Hall, and now Breece Hall is back to being Breece Hall. So that insurance policy isn't worth what it used to be. They still have a healthy Michael Carter. They got Izzy Abanaconda on the bench, and of course they have Hall, who looks like he's going to have a terrific second half of the year. So I don't think they need Cook anymore. You know, and to be quite honest, I don't think everyone in the organization was totally on board with signing him in the first place, and now he's expendable, and they won't get much return on their investment if they decide to trade him. They need offensive line depth. Problem is, slim pickings out there, folks. No one is looking to trade decent offensive linemen. They just aren't enough in the league to go around, and people are holding on to their offensive linemen. The Jets certainly could use another body on the interior. They need another receiver, some big names out there, Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton, because we have to mention them because of the Nathaniel Hackett connection. Mike Evans, his name's been out there for a long time. I don't think Tampa Bay's going to trade him. One thing to remember here, and I know Jet fans want him to go out and trade for Devontae Adams, but that is not happening. Another thing to remember, the Jets only have 5 picks in next year's draft. They got their first rounder. Second rounder is going to Green Bay for Rodgers. They have their third rounder. They have 2 fourth rounders. One of them they got in the Jacob Martin trade with Denver. They don't have a 5th rounder that went to Denver in the Jacob Martin trade. They do have a 6th rounder, and they have no 7th rounder because that went to Baltimore for Chuck Clark. Joe Douglas likes to accumulate draft picks. They're down to 5. I don't know if he's really into trading another one away. Could they do a player trade? Absolutely. I could see them trading Lawson for a backup offensive lineman. And one thing no one's really talking about, they need some help for depth reasons at linebacker. Kenneth Murray from the LA Chargers, a 2020 first-round pick, has kind of fallen by the wayside there. Perhaps the Chargers looking to move him. Maybe the Jets try to address a depth issue there. So I don't think the Jets are going to make any blockbuster trades, but I could see them doing something. We know Douglas is very active every year at the trade deadline. 2019, he trades Leonard Williams to the Giants. 2020, he has the fire sale. Remember that? McClendon, Williamson, Jordan Willis all traded away. 2021, he brings in Joe Flacco and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif that year. Got rid of Daniel Brown. 2022, got rid of Jacob Martin, but brought in James Robinson, which turned out to be a bust of a trade. So Joe Douglas, always active at the trading deadline, and I would not rule out a trade. This time, though, it could be one of their guys leaving, like a Lawson or a Cook, and we'll see what they get back. I think the Jets like their roster for the most part, but they do have some depth issues, especially at receiver and on the offensive line. All right, we're talking Jets-Giants, the big local rivalry. We have our guest this week is the ESPN NFL Nation Giants writer extraordinaire, Jordan Renan, who's been doing this team for 11 years, which makes him a pretty good authority on the Giants. Jordan, thank you so much for carving.
It's been a long 11 years, Rich. You know what I'm saying?
A long 11
years. I think you understand it. I think you understand what I mean by that.
It's been a long 11 years for both teams. I mean, but at least you guys had last year, you know, a little playoff run, a playoff victory. But both teams have their issues basically for a decade, and they meet on Sunday at MetLife. Giants coming off a big win, like almost a must win, basically. I guess everyone's talking about the quarterback situation. So where does it stand with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here, we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon, so we'll see. Daniel Jones was out there at practice last week. I'm sure he'll be out there at practice again this week. The big question is whether he can be cleared for contact, and we're probably not going to get an answer on that right away. There's no reason for the Giants to give you an answer on that right away, but look, let's be real about this. If there's Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor, the difference isn't monumental, right? Tyrod Taylor has played well. He actually has played better than Daniel Jones so far this year, aside from that one half in Arizona. Now, ultimately, I think Daniel Jones is the better, younger quarterback. But given the limitations that the Giants have, that their offense has, their offensive line in particular, I'm not sure it really makes that much difference to the Jets. If the Jets do what they're supposed to do up front, and we know what the Jets are, their defense and their defense up front, I don't care who's that quarterback. It's going to be hard for the Giants, who, by the way, are averaging 12 points per game in the NFL, you know, that they're going to go out there and put up 24, 26, 28.
Yeah, it's rough. I watched the Giants on Sunday, and I've seen that game before, you know, watching the Jets. It's just, it almost seems like the field is 200 yards long at times. You know, when you have that kind of offense, it's just hard to overcome. So is there a quarterback controversy? I mean, I see on Monday some, you know, Giant fans screaming for Tyrod Taylor. Do we have the makings of a little bit of a quarterback controversy there?
Maybe a little bit, Rich, but ultimately the Giants just paid Daniel Jones, right? Tyrod Taylor's in mid-30s. Like, so you have a young quarterback who they just paid and an older quarterback who, you know, who has played pretty well. But let's be fair, they've still scored 23 points in his two starts. So it's not like he's going out there and putting up, you know, just lighting it up and all of a sudden the Giants are scoring all these points. So I think when Daniel Jones comes back, he's going to be their quarterback. But the idea and the fact that he hasn't played as well as Tyrod Taylor, it's always going to have people out there saying, we need to put in Tyrod Taylor. He's our better option. But the Giants are 2-5. They're not making a Super Bowl run this year. I think everyone's pretty realistic about that, right? I would hope so inside the organization. So what use does it do for the benefit of the long term of the organization to go to a 34, 35-year-old quarterback in Tyrod Taylor long term over Daniel Jones, who, by the way, you just paid $84 million guaranteed for this year and next?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are good points. So the NFL comes down to money a lot of times. And so if the guy's making the big money, you got to play him.
Plus, Daniel Jones, we're a society that we remember what's right in front of us and we forget, you know, casually forget. But Daniel Jones played really well last year. He played better than Tyrod Taylor is playing right now. So it's not like he can't and they shouldn't expect him to play at that level again.
Right. Well, it sets up an interesting, and that'll probably be a game time decision. I would guess that'll probably, the Giants will probably keep that, under wraps for as long as they possibly can.
Yeah. And the weekend seems realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I actually hope Daniel Jones plays. You know, I like him and I think it would pose a challenge to the Jets because the Jets have had some issues with really mobile quarterbacks this year. And, we know Daniel Jones, the one thing he does move around really well. Maybe he'd be less apt to run just to protect himself because of the neck. But when he's healthy and moving around, he can be a weapon as a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, that's part of his skill set. That's part of what makes Daniel Jones a good quarterback in this league, right? Last year, when he finished, what was it, seventh, I believe, in QBR, like that was a big part of his game and a big reason why. So if he doesn't have that, if he's not able to play and he plays with a physical nature for a quarterback, that certainly takes away some of what he does, and all of a sudden he's not as good a quarterback anymore. Also, very tough spot to have him come back against the Jets. We know what this defense is, right? This is a very good defense, should be considered one of the top defenses in the NFL. With still battered offensive line, is that really a good situation to bring back your quarterback who's coming back from his second neck injury in 3 years?
Wow, good points. All right, let's have a little fun here, Jordan. I know Jet and Giant fans do this all the time, so let's do it. We're going to go position by position, and we'll see who's better at each position. So we'll start with the obvious one, quarterback. So let's just say it's Daniel Jones, for argument's sake. So Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson, what do we think?
Does it really matter? Does it really matter? I would take Tyrod Taylor over Zach Wilson, too, personally.
And you know what?
Would you say you wouldn't? I mean,
I would. I agree with you on that. I think Zach Wilson's improved, but he is not. I'd rather have the steadying hand of a Tyrod Taylor, who, by the way, has made some big pass plays in the last couple of weeks downfield. Some chunk.
Yeah, that's
pass
his thing. That's,
yeah,
he's going to throw the ball downfield. He is not scared. He could be reckless at times, but he is not going to be scared to throw the ball downfield. And that, you know, goes for the same against the Jets this week.
Okay, so edge Giants. So okay, here's an interesting one. Running back. We got a good one here. We got Barkley and Breece Hall. Me personally, I'm taking Breece Hall right now. Just the kind of year he's had.
Oh, none.
The guy's averaging like 6 yards a carry. I think Barkley's a little under 4 yards a carry. And I know Barkley's running behind a shambles of an offensive line. I just think Breece Hall is on the ascent.
All right, I'm not normally the giant homer guy, but in this case, I got to go with Barkley, assuming he's now healthy, just because I think he's the better all-around back. Like, Breece Hall is the home run hitter that Barkley used to be, but Barkley still catches the ball well. You saw that. He had a 32-yard catch-and-run touchdown. He just brings a little extra, I think, that Breece Hall doesn't have to his game now, that I think ultimately he probably can and will as his game gets refined in the NFL. But right now, to me, he's more of the home run hitter, you know, just that explosiveness. But I think Saquon is still the better all around back. I'll actually call it even. How about that? I'll go even.
All right, we'll call it a draw on that one. With two,
I'll
two
take
really,
either one of them, right?
I'll take
one of them on my team.
I'm sure the Jets would take Barkley in a second if it came down to that. So, all right, we're going to call it a draw. All right, wide receiver is interesting. The Giants are young. You know, they're breaking in Jalen Hyatt, who I watched on Sunday. I think he's an excellent a vertical threat. I was impressed by his ability to get downfield and track the ball. I know that's his kind of his superpower, as Robert Saleh would say. That's his favorite expression. But I'm going to go Jets because I think Garrett Wilson.
They don't have Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's the best out of the bunch on both teams. So I'm gonna lean Jets.
By a wide margin, I would go Jets on that one. Nothing personal against the Jalen Hyatts of the world, but Garrett Wilson's at a different level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, tight ends. Waller finally found the end zone. Where the heck has this guy been for the last few weeks? Guy's a talented player.
Yeah, the Giants, if you go back, there's been some opportunities. They just haven't been able to connect. I thought this was coming, and we finally got a chance to see it. So I would expect it to continue. Now, the Jets have a probably deeper, better blocking, you know, better all-around core. Like Darren Waller, that's not his skill set, but Darren Waller is the best receiver out of everyone. So I would almost probably go, are we going group or are we just going starter?
No, we're going group.
Because group, I'd probably say even because the Giants, you know what? I'll give the Giants the edge. Daniel Bellinger's healthy again. He's back. I'll give the Giants a slight edge because Waller's the best of the bunch. Although I do like the Jets, what they've gotten this year from that position.
Yeah, the Jets, I think Tyler Conklin's having a good year for them. He's really developed into a nice pass-receiving threat, making some yak, which always helps. But I'm going to agree with you, Jordan. I'm going to give a slight edge to the Giants here. I think Waller, just his dynamic nature as a receiver, and the Jets better figure out a way to cover him as well. They've had some breakdowns against tight ends this year. They've given up some explosive plays to tight ends, so they better figure out a way to deal with that. But I would go Giants as well, so we're in agreement on that. All right, now
we're quickly going to run out of advantages for Giants here.
We're segueing into the offensive line here.
Close to done.
Okay, we're good. All right, offensive line. What can we say about the Giants? This is kind of grim here, kind of grim.
The fact that the Jets are a slam dunk in this spot just tells you everything you need to know, but the Giants, I mean, Andrew Thomas hasn't played. Maybe he comes back this week. I think that's a possibility. John Michael Schmidt, the rookie center, he's probably not going to be back this week. I'd be surprised if he was. They played, two guys off the couch this week and had only one guy. That was Mark Lewinsky at his original position that he started the season. And Mark Lewinsky, by the way, was benched after week one, but they needed to bring him back in because of injuries. Eventually, 3 or 4 weeks later. So, yeah, I mean, they're bad at below average at every spot, the line they put out the other day. If Andrew Thomas comes back, at least it gives you something. But this is just an offensive line that is, even when it is improved the last couple of weeks, it's still way below average.
They made The Giants' offensive line makes the Jets' offensive line look like the old Washington Hogs. So, and the Jets' offensive line has been mediocre to average. They have some good days.
Add depth, though, if you think about it, right? Because I had this conversation with Connor Hughes, you know, covers the Jets. Like
right.
And he came to the Giants in the summer. And he's like, I think, you know, everyone, and ever at the time, remember, everyone's talking about how bad the Jets' offensive line was this summer.
Right.
And I was like, man, they're doing the Giants a favor because the Giants line, I thought, was worse and with less depth. The Jets had guys like Joe Tippmann and Mekhi Becton, at least in reserve. So if something went wrong, like those guys had big question marks, but at least you could put them in and now you're getting a lot from them, right?
Yeah, Becton's been their best lineman. I mean, now that Vera Tucker is out for the year, the left side has actually been solid. Becton's done a nice job. Lakin Tomlinson has actually played better than last year because he had a down year last year. McGovern is, you know, he's okay at center. Nothing great. He's okay. The issue is the right side because Vera Tucker's out, and now Joe Tippmann, his status is up in the air for this week with an injury. And so I think Wes Schweitzer could be in there. So the Jets did have good depth. But it's now that depth is now starting. So it's not what it used to be, but I definitely give them the edge over the Giants.
The Giants' depth was Marcus McKeithen at guard, right? And he is ranked, according to our pass block win rate, 67th of 67 guards. So if he's starting this week, that's the spot. Look for the Jets to take massive advantage of. He's a young player who has really, really struggled, but he's been in their lineup because the options have not been great.
Hey, let's go to the other side of the ball. And it's an interesting contrast because you have two totally different schemes and philosophies. Wake Martindale will blitz coming off the bus and just a lot of pressure and man-to-man. And the Jets are really the exact opposite. They rush four usually. They don't blitz a lot. They play a lot of zone. So it's a contrast in styles. And the Giants are a 3-4 base team. The Jets are 4-3, but we'll analyze it anyway. So defensive line, who you got, Jets or Giants?
I got to go Jets, even though it might be the Giants' best position, and Dexter Lawrence is amazing. But the Jets have Quinnen Williams, so that's almost like a wash, right? Because they're both basically all-pro caliber guys.
Right.
And the difference is the depth on the Jets, right? The Jets are just so deep on their defensive line and their pass rushers. That to me, I actually have to give it to them, even though Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams is a really good player too.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course we know Leonard over here with the Jets, but, yeah, I agree. Jets, go nine deep, 10, you know, 10 really on the roster.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
Second half, especially people ask why are the Jets so good in the second half of games? They've only given up one second half touchdown. And part of the reason is because they come at you in waves that their guys are fresh in the second half because they're running like eight or nine guys through on the defensive line. And I know it cuts down on their playing time. Like Quinnen Williams, who's one of the best guys in the league, is only playing like 65% of the snaps, but that's part of their MO. You know,
Dexter Lawrence is playing like 80% in red in comparison. That's everything right there.
Yeah, and then, you know, a guy like Bryce Huff, who's not even starting, is statistically one of the best pass rushers in the league. I mean, if you look at all these different metrics that we have nowadays, Bryce Huff is outstanding. So I agree. I think we're on the same page. Edge to the Jets on the D-line. Now, linebackers, this is a close one for me. I mean, Okereke has really been playing better the last couple
good
of
player.
Weeks. Yeah, I like him a lot. You know, he and C.J. Mosley in the middle, that's a tough call there. I think Quincy Williams, Quinnen's older brother, is having an outstanding year. And
he's a great one. Every time I watch, he stands out, man.
Oh, he's an absolute speed demon. I mean, he can just go sideline to sideline. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Jets there because I think the Mosley.
We're just going inside here, Rich?
Well, I mean, you got to count Thibodeau as a linebacker, right? I mean, that's his position, so we're going to have.
I don't know. Are we doing edge? Like, is edge a position, or was that part of the defensive line?
Well, if we're getting that specific, Jordan, I guess we could count him as part of the edge, Thibodeau as part of the edge group. In that case, I would probably still stay with the Jets. I like the Jets' edge rushers.
Yeah, the Jets have the edge rushers easy.
Yeah,
Thibodeau does have 5.5 sacks, which is a really good number, but their depth, and especially without Ojulari, the Jets are significantly better.
All right, so inside backers, I'm going with the Jets with Mosley and Williams. Who you got?
I'm going with a push on this one because that's the level that Okereke and Micah McFadden are playing with. Like, I think Okereke is probably playing a little better than C.J. Mosley. I'd rather have him at this point of his career, but I also would rather have Quincy Williams over McFadden, even though McFadden's actually been pretty good as well. So I'll call it a push, probably a generous push from the Giants right there.
You know what story we're going to miss this week? The Jihad Ward, Aaron Rodgers.
Feud.
We had a little dust up in the preseason that made for a couple of days worth of stories. And
I doubt we're going to hear anything from Jihad Ward because he has been MIA from the locker room ever since that episode, right? So I think he didn't appreciate everything of how it went down and how it was portrayed. And now he has, and he's a really outspoken, boisterous guy. So during the week, you never see him. So I've seen him this week. And that's my
guess. Yeah. Well, we'll see Aaron Rodgers there everywhere on TV, but I don't know if he'll be talking about this. Probably not. But that's one story we won't have this week. All right. Corners. Interesting. Corner.
Not even here. Close.
I mean, yeah.
Not even close.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming Gardner and DJ Reed will play as
Monday. If they're out, yeah, it would be a different conversation. But
we're
not eliminating them, right?
No, I think they'll play. As of Monday, they were both in the concussion protocol, but with the bye week and everything, I have to believe they will be good to go. And to me, they're one of the better tandems in the league, probably one of the five or six best cornerback tandems in the league. So I give the Jets a decided advantage in that area.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Sauce alone, it's over right there. And then obviously, Reed is a really good player. Giants are playing some young cornerbacks. Dory Jackson, especially, was injured and missed this past week. They started two rookies. Deontay Banks is playing really well. Trey Hawkins had a pretty solid game, but he's a guy that has been taking advantage at times this year. So not even close. And the Giants aren't great in slot either.
Yeah, that's a good area for the Jets as well. Michael Carter II doesn't get any publicity because he's overshadowed by the other guys, but he's a very, very solid player. Safety is tough. I think I may lean Giants here. Jason Pinnock, the former Jet, has made, you know, he's starting. He's made some plays there. They got McKinney. I mean, that's a close one.
Give me the Jets safeties. Who we got? Whitehead?
You got Whitehead, who had three interceptions in the first game. You know, since then, he's done, you know, he's quieted down. Obviously, you can't keep up that pace. No. But, and Tony Adams, of course, had the huge play against Philadelphia in week six. He's a very young player, still feeling his way.
That might be a push. I'll go with the Giants on this one, give them the only advantage I have for them on defense, because I think Xavier McKinney is the best player of the bunch. So I'm going to give the Giants the advantage. And I think he's actually playing really well lately. He's kind of flown under the radar. He's not all pro or probably even Pro Bowl player, but he's like that next level above, like really good quality starting safety that you feel really good with and he could do a lot of things with. So, and Jason Pinnock, you know, he could flash here. He could flash and do some things as well. He hasn't been a liability. So those two together, I probably would take them just a little bit over the Jets safeties. That's the only edge that I had for them on the defense. So let's see. I got 1-3-1 on defense. So the Jets, I have the Jets with 5-3, and then we called two positions draws overall.
Okay. And what about special teams? I think it's a toss-up. I think Gano and Greg Zuerlein are really good kickers. Zuerlein's having an outstanding year. Thomas Morstead, their punter, is as reliable as there is. So the Jets special teams are, you know, their return game is okay. I mean, Xavier Gibson had a touchdown in week one, so he's dangerous, but it's been kind of quiet since then. But I would say it's probably pretty close.
I'll even give it to the Jets. The Giants actually, I mean, they've been fumbling punts. They don't have a punt returner. They just signed Gunnar Olszewski. I don't remember even know how to pronounce that name. You know, the former Patriot, made an all-pro, but he had a fumbling problem in Pittsburgh as well. They had a game with six penalties on special teams. They let up a special teams touchdown on a field goal block. So they've had their problems on special teams. I can't even call it. Even though Their best player this year might be their punter, Jamie Gillen. He's been great.
He's had a lot of work.
He has a lot of work. 18 punts. I watched the game with 18 punts the other day. Rich, you've been there, done that many times. So I'm actually even giving the edge to the Jets in that area at this point. So, I got six to three, and then two draws. That's where I landed.
Okay,
and you were even more favorable to the Jets, and I was generous to the Giants at the linebacker position to even call it a draw.
All right, so we think the Jets have a better team. That said, you just never know. I don't want to say it's a rivalry game. I think that's a stretch, but it'll be a little extra.
You know what Xavier McKinney said?
What did he say?
When I talked to him about it before the season about the Jets getting all the attention, and you tell me if you disagree, but he said, that he still viewed, even though the Jets were getting all the attention, Aaron Rodgers was healthy at the time, he said he still viewed the Giants as sort of the big brother in the rivalry because of the history and the tradition and the Super Bowls and the way they're sort of perceived in the area compared to the Jets. And I know that might anger some people, but I don't think he's necessarily wrong about that.
It's a Giants town. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I know Jeff fans probably don't agree with that. I mean, I think maybe about 10, 12 years ago when Rex Ryan had things going and they were going to the playoffs back-to-back years, I think maybe the Jets quote unquote owned.
So the Giants won. So the Giants won their second.
Oh, the Giants won another Super Bowl. But the Jets did get all the exposure this summer with Hard Knocks and Rodgers. And so I do think from a realistic perspective, it probably still is a Giants town. And I'm sure that chatter will come up this week. Maybe we can get a little trash talk going in the locker rooms. What do you say? Let's give it a try this week. We'll see if we can get some players. I just don't think it's what it used to be. In the old days, guys used to see each other in the offseason. They used to do charity events together, Jets and Giants. They played charity basketball. I remember when I was a kid, I went to a charity basketball game at the local school, and it was Jet players against Giant players. And so that stuff doesn't happen anymore. I mean, now the only thing maybe they play each other in video games or something like that. But they're friends,
and they train together. So yeah, it's all.
Yes, I mean maybe they train together. They see each other out in the nightclubs in the city. It's not quite the same. But I think there'll be a little extra electricity. It's a Giant home game.
I was curious because they play in such a small vicinity. The two teams, they share the same state. Well, everything.
Well, I always look forward to these games because I get to see my Giants brethren that I only usually see once a year. So. I will look forward to seeing you in the press box on Sunday, and I can't thank you enough for doing this, Jordan. I know schedules are tight, so thanks for squeezing us in. And hey, let's just hope for a good game on Sunday.
Always, Rich. Yep, we'll use some this segment on Breaking Big Blue, my podcast as well.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Jordan.
All right, Rich. Speak to you soon.
All right, we've got mailbag time. I'm reaching deep into the mailbag, and I got a question from @IsraelDMS7. And the question is, what would a contract look like for Bryce Huff? The answer is a lot of money. He's making a little over $4 million now, which is what the tender was for his level of restricted free agent. But he's looking at a nice deal. Bryce Huff, a really talented edge player for the Jets who's showing that he can play a little bit on first and second down. I think the floor for him would be $8 million a year. I think the ceiling would be $13 million, and I'm getting that ceiling from some comps, Josh Sweat of the Eagles, Carl Granderson of the Saints, coming in at about $13 million a year on their current contracts. That'd probably be a little pricey for Huff. But like I said, he's a talented player, and edge rushers get paid. So that's the kind of deal you're looking at for Bryce Huff. He's going to do well. If it's not with the Jets, someone will give him that deal in the offseason. Next, @DanBow76, which player was the biggest surprise over the first 6 weeks? Which one was the biggest disappointment? Surprise, Mekhi Becton. One, he's healthy. Made it through the preseason. Made all six starts. Is doing a good job at left tackle, looking really comfortable week after week, getting acclimated. So Mekhi Becton, who I think should remain in that position, even though Dwayne Brown is eligible to come back. I think it would be insane to shake up the offensive line now because they're starting to settle into something pretty good. Disappointment, without question, Dalvin Cook. He has not produced on a Dalvin Cook level. Quite frankly, he's produced as one, if you look at the analytics, he's one of the least effective running backs in the league, considering what they paid for him, considering his reputation. I'd have to say Dalvin Cook, the biggest disappointment so far. At T_Delgado24, do you think we'll see any personnel changes coming out of the bye? Yes. More Xavier Gibson, less Randall Cobb, more Jeremy Ruckert, more Will McDonald. And if it keeps on going this way with Dalvin Cook, you're going to see Izzy Abanaconda at running back. He had some flashes in the preseason, and he's got speed, and we just talked about Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, I think you could see Izzy at some point. At S. Sedaris, question is, in honor of Jets-Giants week, what's the most fascinating regular season story, either leading up to a game or the game itself, that you've covered between these two teams? Well, it's been kind of boring lately. I think you got to go back to the Rex Ryan era in 2011 when Rex, I guess, trying to fire up his team, was taking public pot shots at Tom Coughlin, who was by then a Super Bowl winning coach with the Giants, and Rex really went after him publicly. And of course, we know what happened in that game. That was the Victor Cruz game where he took a little pass from Eli Manning, went 99 yards, and the Giants were propelled to a win and the Super Bowl that year. And the Jets, in some ways, still have not recovered from that Christmas Eve game on 2011. And those are two of my most vivid memories when it comes to this Jet-Giants series. And let's hope they make some memories this week. Looking forward to this week's game. Here we go. Jets versus Giants. Two struggling offenses. Two contrasting styles on defense. A very interesting game. A home game for the Giants. And a dangerous game for the Jets for these reasons. One, the Jets are not good coming out of the bye week. They're 0-2 after the bye under Robert Saleh. It's a small sample size. I understand that, but it needs to be mentioned. They're feeling pretty good about themselves right now, and I wonder if they're feeling a little too good coming off that signature win against the Eagles. Suddenly, it seems like the narrative around the team has changed. The perception now is if they're like a playoff contender, as if they've arrived, as if Zach Wilson is the answer. I think folks are getting a little bit ahead of themselves right now, and this could be a reality check for the Jets. Couple of thoughts on the game. This could be a game where we see 10 combined sacks. The Giants' offensive line stinks. We know that. And the Jets can really rush the passer. On the flip side, the Jets are going to see a ton of pressure looks from Wink Martindale. The Giants are second in blitz rate. They're eighth in pressure rate. Wilson, who's been taking a lot of sacks lately, he's going to see a lot of man-to-man coverage. Now, actually, statistically, he's not bad versus man coverage. He's seen more man than any quarterback in the league this year, according to Next Gen Stats. He's 17th in QBR against man coverage, only 32nd in QBR against zone coverage. So you would think it's going to be a good matchup for him against Wink Martindale's man-to-man defense. Well, I don't know about that. The Giants are going to force the Jets to throw more than they want because they're going to show a lot of cover zero looks, and the Jets are going to have to check out our running plays and throw the ball. I don't think Wilson is up for it right now. He had a terrific game against Kansas City. There's no two ways about it. He played really well, but he's had a couple of mediocre games against Denver and Philadelphia, kind of getting glossed over because they won. True, only one turnover in those two games, but other numbers down. Also, 9 sacks in the last two games. The Giants' pass rush seems revived with Dexter Lawrence and old friend Leonard Williams. So going on a hunch here, Going to pick the Giants this week, 20-16. I think the Giants found themselves a little bit. Now, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback, whether it's going to be Tyrod Taylor or Daniel Jones. To me, it doesn't matter. I think this is a trap game for the Jets, who, like I said, coming off the bye week, feeling too good about themselves. It's going to be a very, very interesting game. If they do win the game, it will tell me a lot about their maturation as a team and basically the makeup, the mental makeup. That would really impress me, because these games, like the idea that they're through the hard part of their schedule, is overblown. Every team is hard for a team like the Jets, and they can't take the Giants lightly. I think they will a little, and so I'm going to pick the Giants, like I said, 20-16. Going to set offensive football back a couple of years here in this game, but be that as it may, let's just hope for a good, entertaining game. Anyway, I want to thank our guest, ESPN Jets reporter Jordan Reynon, for stopping by, and of course, thanking our producer, Jeff Scopin. We will talk to you next week on Flight Deck.